And out of joy at the birth of our Lord, would you please stand for this reading? In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary, she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Often when Jesus wanted to get to the deeper meaning of something, instead of trying to explain it, he told a story. It became my tradition on Christmas Eve many, many, many years ago to use a story. And after many years, I was challenged to write my own. And so a few years back, I began writing my own. This is one of those stories that I have written for you this evening. The fluorescent light over the counter flickered and hummed, creating kind of an eerie atmosphere like you might see at the beginning of a Twilight Zone episode. Jolly old Saint Nicholas was coming out over the radio and accompanied by that ever-present static that you find on small-town AM radio stations. Christmas Eve at the Outpost convenience store was shaping up to be as dull as Rob, the owner, thought it might be. He had almost closed for Christmas, but he wasn't much for going to church. He had no family close by, and he figured he just as easily could sit at the store as sit at home. And you never know, somebody might need something. A last-minute fill-up, some tape for a final present wrapping, or even maybe just a shot of caffeine to get over that final hump on Christmas Eve. Rob really wasn't big into Christmas. He never really had been, at least not as an adult. It wasn't just the commercialization or the pressure of buying that perfect gift. But he never really bought into the whole story. He believed in God, but he wasn't sure about this baby born in a manger world would never be the same tale. From where he sat, the world didn't seem that much different than it had always been. People struggling to get by, people hating one another, people starving. He could go on and on about how he felt like the world was duped by a baby. Because if this baby was supposed to change things, well, Rob had some oceanfront property in Arizona he was willing to sell you to, if you believed that one. And lately, Rob was even more down at Christmas than usual. He had bought this out-of-the-way store in an out-of-the-way town, hoping to finally get a leg up to get ahead of the curve. The plan was that a new interstate was going to go right by the store. And Rob figured the outpost was a great way to get in on what was going to be surely a boon for the little town. So he packed up, moved to what seemed like the middle of nowhere, and took over the store from Old Man Rubel. And then, as if you couldn't guess, the plans for the interstate changed. 20 miles doesn't seem like a lot if you're traveling all the way across the country. But a store that's 20 miles from the interstate might as well be 200 miles away. Yeah, for Rob, if Christmas had made a difference, it wasn't one that he could see. And then there was that dreaded greeting, Merry Christmas. He always felt like, even if he didn't feel very merry, like he had to say it back. He hated that greeting. And it was even more annoying this year than usual. There really wasn't much that Rob could see to be merry about. He had planned to close the store at 11. I mean, who would be out after that time on a Christmas Eve? But as it got closer, he thought about maybe leaving a little early. So he started to pack things up. He counted his cash, ran his receipts, dumped out the old coffee. As he watched the clock, he sat there and tried to pass the time by guessing what Christmas carol the radio station was going to play next. Just a little bit longer, he remembers thinking to himself. And then suddenly he realized he must have dozed off because he just about fell off the stool when the front door to the store opened. And there stood a man in the doorway, couldn't have been much older than Rob himself. There was something about the man that let Rob know that he didn't have much. I mean, if you know what I mean, it wasn't that his clothes were dirty or he was dressed in rags, but maybe it was just his presence. He was humble, maybe a little bit too humble, like someone who might think he wasn't worth much. Much to Rob's relief, the man did not offer a Merry Christmas. He just paused long enough to look at the sign on the door that read, Holiday Hours, Christmas Eve, 6 a.m. to 11 p.m., Christmas Day closed. He made his way up to the counter where Rob was sitting and he said, I see you're about ready to close, but could you help us out? The heater in the car isn't working, and my wife and I just had a baby a few days ago, and we're traveling home to see my folks. Well, I really shouldn't say home. My wife gets so mad at me about that because she goes, you don't live with your parents anymore. We have our own home, but I'm traveling to my hometown, and we just need a place to try to get warm before we continue our trip. Rob was looking forward to getting home, but a little company, even a couple of strangers, was welcomed on Christmas Eve. So Rob said, sure, and he got up to go put some more coffee on. The man went back out to the car and came back in with his wife and baby, and Rob was taken back with how young the woman looked. And as they walked in the door, he was able to look past them, and he got a glimpse of their car. It was really an old beater. Rob thought it made his 15-year-old pickup truck look like a cherry find. You see, Rob's first impression had been correct. The family really didn't have much. In fact, Rob even wondered how they might have had the money to travel. They didn't talk much. They asked if they could use the bathroom, and they seemed content with the sandwiches they pulled out of a paper sack. Rob poured them some coffee, and they wrapped their hands around the cups, trying to thaw out their fingers. And then they began to unwrap the baby from her cocoon of blankets. And man, was that one small baby. Rob thought, this guy really wasn't kidding when he said a few days ago. It looked like the baby could have been born just a few hours ago. Something about the couple struck Rob, too. They seemed somehow content with their lot, and somehow the baby seemed to bring them all the joy that they needed, even though they were cold and traveling and didn't have much. The sense of sadness came over Rob as he watched the family. Poor kid, he thought, born into a situation that seemed to offer so little hope. I mean, sure, she might end up rising up and out of her lot, But Rob wasn't really in the hopeful mood these days. And I mean, he had made his own bed. He had made his own choices. He was there because of decisions he had made. But this kid had no choice about the mess it was being born into. A car with no heat, maybe dad didn't have a job. I mean, who would want to bring a kid into that mess? Rob sat there and turned up the radio a little and sipped on his own black coffee, and he was wanting to get home, but he was going to let the family decide when they were warm enough to continue traveling. And it was then that something happened. It was then that the mother, for the first time, pulled the baby from its blanket and cradled the baby in her arms. And as Rob got a look at the baby's face, he noticed for the first time in a while one of the songs playing on the radio. Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, they didn't know who you was. And Rob isn't sure what happened then. But in that moment, Rob saw something besides the reality of this young family's life. He saw beyond the despair and the uncertainty and the poverty. He saw how alike this family was to another family. On the road, humble, maybe even poor. And as he looked at the baby, he saw something he hadn't felt in a long time, hope. And he began to understand that just maybe, Christmas and the Christmas story wasn't about things getting better. It was about hope and bringing hope when things weren't better. It was about what could be. Maybe that first Christmas wasn't about being duped by a child. Maybe it was about hope and about reassurance, about a fulfilled promise. For when you see, when people had no reason to hope, God sent a baby. A reminder that he was still there, and not only was God still there, God was here, close at hand, willing to face the same struggles, the same disappointments, the same mess that every baby faced. And it was at that moment that Rob realized that the true hope of Christmas was not just that God sent his son so that we might find forgiveness, but the real miracle of Christmas was that God sent his son at all. That he cared enough to come into the midst of this mess, in the midst of this world full of despair and poverty and sickness, all for our sake, all for hope's sake. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.